You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Right Side Radio here for you every day, Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. It's 4:08 right now, and listen, we're going to go right now to the phones with U.S. Senate candidate Mike Durant. Most of y'all know Mike Durant. He's been a fixture in the Huntsville area for quite a while. Formed a very successful company called Pinnacle Solutions after a very decorated career in the military. And he also is most notably known for the situation we often refer to as Black Hawk Down, the Battle of Mogadishu, in which he was a Black Hawk pilot shot down and held prisoner of war there. Mike gave a speech in 2011, and we thought we'd call him on and ask him to maybe address it. But let me just first welcome him to the show, and then we'll get to that question in a moment. Mike Durant, how you doing today?
Doing great, Phil. Great to be back on the show.
Well, thank you, sir. Well, listen, Mike, story broke yesterday. Interesting comments that were made by you in a speech. And I don't get into negative campaign ads and talking about it, but when they're the candidate's words, I feel like it's a good thing to address. So in this case, you gave a speech to the Army War College, 2011, I believe. And somewhere in the middle of the speech, you were talking about the necessity of disarming civilians in the war zone. In that case, I believe it was Mogadishu. But then you kind of trailed off into a sidebar comment, and you mentioned the fact that it might reduce crime in U.S. cities if we could disarm people in those cities. I'm paraphrasing slightly, but that's kind of what you said. I thought I'd better bring you on and say, what the heck, Mike? What was that about?
Sure. Well, you know, Phil, I've talked about Somalia for 30 years, and I've probably done that presentation 500 times. And, you know, what I'm typically trying to do at that point is to make people understand how difficult that mission is. You know, that mission actually occurred before I even got to Somalia. But, you know, it's mischaracterized. I'm absolutely pro-Second Amendment. I've been a hunter my whole life. I've got my own collection of weapons. It pales in comparison to some of the folks' collections that I've seen. But, I certainly do have one. I was an attack helicopter pilot in special operations aviation. I shot more rounds every month than most people shoot in their lives. This is just typical. You know, if this is the best you can do, dig up. And when I say you, I don't mean you. I mean my opponents can dig up something from 10 years ago that really isn't what I was saying. Then, you know, I guess it's part of the game, but to me, it's really meaningless.
Well, I mean, it's meaningless, but it also caught a lot of attention because you live here. This is a Second Amendment friendly state. We're in the middle of seeing Joe Biden come out right now and capitalize on the Sacramento shootings and call for more gun control, and truthfully calling for disarming citizens. And then your comments broke the same day. So, I guess you can understand why it might be taken with some concern, though, right?
Well, you know, I guess if you analyze every word that someone has said for 30 years, you're probably going to find something that gets misunderstood or mischaracterized. Like I said earlier, what I always tried to do at that point in the presentation is explain to people that if you actually try to do this, go house to house, weapon search and seizure, which is what was going on in Mogadishu at the time, you are going to end up creating more trouble than you're probably bargaining for. And in the case of Somalia, 24 Pakistanis were slaughtered in the street when they ran across the wrong group of people. So I'm not condoning it. In fact, I'm arguing against it, that it isn't really a smart tactic, certainly not when you're outnumbered like we were there. We only had 1,500 Americans in a city of 800,000 people. I mean, that's basically ingredients for disaster. And that's the whole point of that part of the conversation. It's being misrepresented. There's no way I'm anti-Second Amendment. You know, I don't know what to say. It's ridiculous.
Well, so I guess then let's talk about the possibility. Right now, all the polls show that you are the lead candidate for U.S. Senate. I mean, one of the three of you is going to be the U.S. Senator for Alabama, and all the polls say that right now you're in a double-digit lead by some polls. That being said, you get to D.C., Biden is still, in office, and he starts trying to enact, executive orders and or promote legislation. How does a future Senator Mike Durant respond to restrictions on things like high-capacity magazines and other things that aren't necessarily disarming citizens, but they're certainly making the Second Amendment more difficult?
Totally opposed to all of it. You know, I am a full supporter of law-abiding citizens having their constitutional right to own and bear arms. No question about it. 100%.
All right. Well, Mike, listen, you know, and I've got a few other questions I want to ask you about the broader campaign, but I want to say thank you for coming on and addressing the comments firsthand, because I think that's one of the things that's important, too, is people need to hear your voice say it and not just other people speculate on it like me.
I'm pleased to have the opportunity, because, you know, there's going to be more of this. I'm out front and 50 days to go. I'm sure there's going to be other things that get fabricated or twisted around, and I'll be glad to come on and clarify any of that.
Well, so let's talk about the campaign. I mean, right now, one of the big questions out there is the Trump endorsement. It's very apparent that of course, Mo Brooks has fallen out of favor with Trump, lost the endorsement. President Trump just came out. He's still in the endorsement business. He just endorsed Sarah Palin for Congress up in Alaska yesterday, I think. So right now, you've been to Mar-a-Lago. I think Katie Britt's been to Mar-a-Lago. What's the scoop, man? Are y'all looking for the endorsement?
Well, you know, I had a great meeting with President Trump. I mean, it was in there for almost an hour. We talked about a lot of things. We talked about Somalia. We talked about how things are going with the campaign. I think he was pretty impressed with the things that I talked to him about regarding my military career, and then the fact that I'm a businessman also. I mean, you know, owned a business for almost 15 years now and run it successfully. And, you know, he appreciates those things. And we're both outsiders. And, you know, I think he saw a lot of things that we have in common. I would never speculate as to, you know, what I think he's going to do, but the meeting went very, very well. And, you know, within 2 days, he pulled his endorsement from Mo. So, you know, I would certainly like the endorsement and, you know, send him a note following that meeting, stating that, said it in the meeting. And, you know, he's going to make his decision, and we'll see where it goes. But I feel pretty comfortable with the way it all went.
So let me ask you this then: Who asked for the meeting? Did you call and ask for an opportunity to meet with him, or did he call you?
Yeah, we asked for an opportunity to meet with him. I mean, he's an important person in any race in this country, certainly on the Republican side, and, you know, to get in there and introduce ourselves and ultimately seek his endorsement was very important for us, and we set it up, and he was happy to do it.
Okay. So obviously, his stated reasons for backing off the endorsement of Mo Brooks was related to election integrity. So, you know, your position on election integrity, some say it's morphed over time. You clarified, is your position morphed or has it just been clarified? Where are you on the question of election integrity and election integrity laws?
Well, it's a huge issue, and, you know, no one questions that. Everywhere I go, in fact, I was at a veterans event in East Alabama just last week, and I would say 2/3 of the questions had to do with election integrity. So it is absolutely on people's minds, and it's important that we address these issues, because there are people talking about it, but what's actually being done? I don't see anything actually being done to avoid this issue in the upcoming elections. We've got to get something done, because, you know, not knowing who people are, ballot stuffing, however you want to refer to it. You know, I just talked to somebody. I'm in an Army Aviation trade show right now, and I talked to somebody down on the floor who personally witnessed 20 illegal aliens walk up to a voting booth with their names written on a piece of paper and cast a vote. And when he showed up with his ID, the person at the poll said, "You must be a Republican." That's the problem. I mean, we got to fix this problem. So it is absolutely an issue that we need to focus on, and I plan to do that.
All right. Well, then, in the broader sense, with the next, like the last couple minutes we have here in our time together, besides election integrity, what do you see as the single biggest issue that you feel like we've got to focus on right now?
Well, the thing that's hitting people most is inflation. I would say, you know, the average working family is, you know, as my wife and I were driving today, I looked at the price of diesel fuel. It's over $5, even where we live. And I'm looking at all the trucks on the road. It's not hard to figure out how that impacts everything that we buy. So our purchasing power has really been reduced, and it hits working families the most. And, you know, that is absolutely a priority. But in terms of, you know, what I think is a very tangible thing that can get done, the number one thing that I've talked about on the campaign that I believe in is getting the wall built again, because we got drugs coming across, we have illegal aliens, we have people that are here working but not paying taxes. They put a burden on taxpayers that costs us over $100 billion a year. I mean, that's a very, you know, easy thing to do. The materials are sitting there in some cases. Let's get that back underway. You know, when they lift Title 42, all we've heard from people down at the border is we're going to have a catastrophe here. So if we had a means of actually controlling the border, that catastrophe might be avoided. But right now, the Biden administration is not doing anything to have a plan other than to say, you know, they're considering lifting the Title 42 restrictions on people coming across, which would be a train wreck for the folks down in those border states.
Well, it is a train wreck, and it's ongoing, and it's getting worse by the day. Listen, one more question before you go, Mike. Thanks for making time for us today. Ukraine is obviously an issue today. The news reports are coming out that in the town of Bucha, which is to the west of Kyiv, they're finding, I mean, they showed the video, they're finding dead bodies with their hands tied behind their back, civilians. And your thoughts on the current status of our situation in Ukraine and whether or not the Biden administration is handling it well?
Well, you know, I can't believe that Vladimir Putin did what he did even on day one. And now to see how far this has gone in terms of genocide and other war crimes, it's hard to process, actually. You can't understand how the leader of a country could support this in any way, shape, or form, and he needs to be held accountable. You know, on the positive side, his standing in the world is irreparably damaged. There's no question about it. I mean, I heard a lot of people talking today about whether or not he'll ever even be invited into, you know, a global summit or anything where he would be, you know, have any sort of input on what the rest of the civilized world does. So he has hurt himself beyond repair. The Biden administration, you could argue, started all this by saying, you know, a small incursion what might be okay. What we needed at that point in time is strong commitment to saying this is a sovereign nation. If you cross the border, these are the consequences. He's just not that kind of person. He's soft. He has no credibility. And it essentially encouraged Vladimir Putin to do what he did. We should also be getting those Polish MiGs in there. You know, I've done a little research on this. The Ukrainian pilots can fly them. They're proficient in most of the systems on those aircraft. They need resupplied, and you know, we're stalling that too. So from the beginning all the way up to today, like everything else the Biden administration has done, they're handling it poorly, and we need to get them out of office as soon as we can.
Well, Mike, I know you had a limited amount of time, but I want to tell you, I've got other candidates that when they get uncomfortable, they refuse to come on because it's uncomfortable. And I appreciate you coming on, addressing some things that were being said, and addressing your own comments and clearing the air from your perspective. And 50 days to go. We look forward to having you on again.
Well, I look forward to it as well. Thanks for taking the time.
All right. Thanks, Mike. All right, Copper, take us to a break. We ran long to make sure we had time for Mike Durant. And I think it's important, you guys, listen. The candidates have got to address the issues. Now, his statements, they were difficult. It was somewhat of a self-inflicted wound, but it was 11 years ago or 10 years ago being brought back to haunt him now. But you know what? Life happens. I'm not mitigating that. I'm just saying that he said something, but he's standing up and addressing it. So I appreciate that. You process how you feel about his response. One of these three is going to be your U.S. senator. You got to make a choice. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.